Now, the fourth set of considerations in this Psalm 5 discourse is drawn towards, to what end should the saints' intentions be directed? And in the same respect, since we're talking about how often does the saint actually achieve or is successful in these attentions, following through on these intentions, maybe we consider now what other things our intentions tend to become. All right, so we look at two things outlined here. The first being, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. That's the outcome. That's the direction. We want to be led by the Lord, and we want to be continuously led by the Lord to our final outcome. That's the end that our intention should be driven towards, right? The other one would be to make thy way straight before my face. Thy way before my face. Let's begin at, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. That word in the Hebrew, lead me, okay, is defined in Strong's H5148. A word naka, I believe, is the pronunciation. Again, forgive me because I just don't know Hebrew pronunciation. Means to guide. We get that sense from this word, lead me. By implication, to transport. Okay? It's not just lead, but it's taking you from one place to another place. And not only that in this sense, it's leading us day by day by day. A little further, a little further, a little further. From one meadow, to another pasture, to a larger pasture, leading us towards that final pasture where we can graze in his grace and his mercy and his abundant provision. Right? Psalms 143:8 says, cause me. Now, this doesn't come of our own selves and our own guidance and everything. It's saying, you, God, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Again, he says, cause me, this is his doing, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift my soul up unto thee. So we have to trust and we have to lift up our soul unto him. And that's our mandate. That's what we have to do in order for him to cause us these greater things. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk. Then verse 9, he says, deliver me, O Lord, from thine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. All right. We just don't, you know, stick with the wild bunch. We don't stick with our old friends and those that have the greatest effect of pulling us down. We don't desert them, but we flee to God, you see. And then in verse 10, he says, teach me. So he's causing, he's delivering. Now he's teaching me. Teach me to do thy will. See, we're of the assumption we just, you know, naturally do his will. If we just let things be and not overly think things and not allow our pride and our prejudice and our selfishness and our lust and our wantonness to guide us, if we just straighten things out in our own mind, we can figure this out. He's saying, teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. That gives me the picture that we're not in the land of uprightness yet, until he is able to do these things to us. So when it says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, it's God's righteousness to do these causings and these deliverings and these teachings and these leadings upon us. It's a wonderful thing. I'm glad it's him doing this and not me myself. I mean, I have to reciprocate by listening in on his loving kindness and lifting up my soul unto thee, trusting in him. You know, I have my part in this, but he's got the role here. I'm not trusting in my own self, in my own intellect, in my own emotions, in my own sense of discernment, my own intuition about things. I'm trusting in His. See? I'm not lifting up my soul, making myself in my own eyes larger. I'm making Him larger in my eyes. We're not on equal level here. I can't think of God in the terms I think of myself. See? So in a sense, I need to lift my soul up to Him. I need to consider Him at His level. Now that's nearly impossible to do. Who knows the thoughts of God? Who knows the ways of God? His thoughts and His ways are much higher than any of us. But each day we can more closely come to that level. Now he talks about make thy way straight before my face. Straight or straightening here is Strong's H3474, Yashar. It means to straighten or to even, like to smooth out, like to iron, to press, right? Figuratively, causatively to make. That's the important key here. There's a cause making us this, straightening up. It's Him doing the straightening. He's using the process of our lives, the events of our lives, the situations, the thoughts and meditations and everything. He's using all this in order to straighten His way before us. Hebrews 12:8. I love Hebrews. The author of Hebrews writes, "But if you be without chastisement," think of that as the straightening out. It's not all of the straightening out. I mean, he's using various means and various methods, but one of them is chastisement. "If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons." I mean, who can explain it any better than that? Verse 9, he says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Again, how much better can that be put? "For they verily for a few days chastened us," this is our fathers, our parents, "chastened us after their own pleasure, but He," meaning God, "but God for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." See, we are not holy in and of ourselves. He is holy. And we are afforded the opportunity to partake of His holiness. His holiness in a sense, not in so much reality, but in a sense, becomes ours because we look so highly upon it. We look so intently upon it. We trust so immensely in it, right? He says, "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." No one likes to go through it, right? "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised by it." Here we go again with it being exercised. What a tremendous thought of us being exercised, okay? And that's through our lives and through our situations and through our goals and our ambitions and our loves and our desires and our families and our interaction with people, our relationships, right? All of this is working to exercise us. But it's really his chastening and His love and His mercies and His tenderness and everything, His word, that is exercising us in a way that we would not be exercised without His presence, without His doing, without His guidance, without His teaching and His deliverance, right? And then he concludes, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees," those things that weren't exercised, those that are lacking, those things that are weak and immobile, right? Lack the strength. "Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest which is lame and turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Be exercised, saints, be healed. And that's comes down to this very process we've been talking about.